You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com.
Welcome to Pure Nintendo's April 24th podcast. We think it's episode 14.
I believe it's episode 14.
I said totally wrong last week, but then the guy who told me was wrong too by one. So we think it's 14. Because there's 13 videos on YouTube right now.
So this would be the 14th. That shows you how organized we are.
I was going to skip introductions. We have a lot to talk about, but we have someone new to the podcast. So I guess we will do our introductions, and I want everyone to tell me the favorite type of dog. And we'll start with Alex.
Well, I'm Alex. My favorite dog breed, I guess, would be Boston Terriers, because they're so ugly, they're cute.
Well said.
You go by Chris or Christian?
Either way. Let's say Chris.
Chris is easier.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, so my name's Chris, and my favorite dog is also a Boston Terrier. I actually have one.
Rock on.
My name's Justin J. Money. I typically like large dogs, but I would have to say my favorite breed is Dachshund.
My name is James, and I guess I kind of have to say my favorite breed is a Great Dane because I have a puppy. So, no, they're good dogs.
My name is Kevin. My favorite type of dog would probably be a husky, just because they're awesome.
All right, so the big news, well, I don't know if we call it big news, but there's big news on Twitter this morning about Iwata taking a new leadership role. A lot of people saying that he was losing his job at Nintendo. Has anyone heard the story first, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird situation because I don't know exactly what's going on. Like in Nintendo, see, what is happening is Iwata is taking over the duties of CEO of Nintendo of America, and the current CEO of Nintendo of America is going over to Japan and taking over two jobs. Iwata is going to be his normal title and CEO of Nintendo of America, which, to be honest with you, I didn't know there was anyone above Reggie. I was not aware of that. Apparently there was someone above Reggie. And so Nintendo's, I guess I don't say spinning it, but saying that it's streamlining the communication, which is kind of nice, because now it's like goes to Reggie, then straight up to Iwata, instead of Reggie to whoever this other guy was, to Iwata. So it kind of ties in Japan and North America a little better. You guys have thoughts on that?
I guess it would make sense. I think they're trying to push for that kind of streamlined communication. I mean, especially with now they're starting, well, with the new Pokemon games, for example. I think they're trying to push now for more like worldwide releases. And I guess like by doing this, the communication between the two companies would be better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all speculation. We don't really know. That's just the first thing that went through my head when I heard about it, was maybe they're trying to streamline everything.
Yeah, the only thing that I it makes me think that's not really fishy is that it still has to pass the board. This isn't coming from the board. There's only two places big changes can really come from, is from the CEO, Iwata, or the board. And so this decision came from Iwata, and then now it has to go to the board for approval. It seems like that way. They could have, the board could have said, hey, we need this change made, and then this is what they presented to the board, but it seems like the board has to approve it, so it wasn't, they're not forcing the hand of a water, like, hey, you got to go over here, you need to get ready to step down type of thing. That's why I think he's still safer now. And I've seen him big, I work for a bank company, I've seen how they cut out some of the fat, because really, what did the guy do, really, that the CEO of North America, the Tenova America, do? Like, I didn't even know he existed until today.
Yeah,
so all of his duties could easily fall on Reggie or go back to Iwata or someone else. And then a lot of companies do that at times to cut a lot of the fat and save money, because he probably made $2 million a year or something like that or more.
It's not a bad chunk of change.
So anything else on that?
No, I think it's a little bit too early to tell, so
yeah.
I guess we'll have to keep our eyes on it and see what happens.
The news just came out this morning, so it's real fresh.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's good. I think it's just good for Iwata getting their house in order. And I don't know why people think Iwata needs to retire or why he should leave. I mean, that's just ridiculous for him to, I don't know, to call for his resignation or anything. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just them getting their house in order and preparing for the future. More timely worldwide releases, like Alex said, just getting on top of the ball on these things that have contracts.
Well, I mean, we've seen other companies do it too. I mean, Sony recently doing their whole Asia restructure.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a bunch of different video game companies are kind of streamlining to make it more efficient in modern markets.
Absolutely.
And this could even be a sign of Iwata is actually taking the reins more. He's like, okay, now I need to get into the second biggest market, North America, and pull that back up with Japan, with the 3DS sales, the Wii U sales. So it seems like he's taking more charge too, which is something that a lot of other CEOs or presidents of companies probably wouldn't do. They would hide behind someone else. Anyways, the next topic is Nintendo held their, I don't know what you call it. Their fiscal numbers. And they're not that good. Put it into it. The Wii U has sold 390,000 units since the end of 2012.
Well, as far as Wii U sales, I think people still need to give it some time. Yeah, it didn't get off to a great start. Things pre-launch, there were a lot of games that they had lined up. Then post-launch, things got delayed, and the game lineup wasn't really what they expected it to be. I think by the end of the year, they could have either a lot of big announcements already out or a lot of games coming. And like I said, I think they just need to give it some time, and I think sales will pick up.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it, especially if they have like a really good E3 this year and introduce a lot of titles that people are waiting for. And that's going to push the software and the actual hardware itself.
Just to go over these numbers real quick. Sorry, I got distracted before. 390,000 Wii's sold since in 2013, which puts the total sales at 3.45 million for the Wii U, which honestly isn't too bad for 6 months, in my opinion. The 3DS sold 1.25 million units in the same first quarter, so since December, which is actually pretty good. The Wii U sits, the 3DS sits at 31 million units sold. I can easily see that tripling by the end of the lifetime. Maybe 80 million is my ultimate guess.
With 3DS?
Yeah, because it's at 31 million now.
Wait, you're saying at the end of it, it'll only sell 80 million?
Well, I can sell more. I can see it tripling, like 90, 100 million.
I can see it get 120 to 150. I think with Pokemon coming out, it's just going to keep stronger. And the more aggressive Nintendo has been going, if they keep up this rapid release dates for the next 3 or 4 years, like I can see it growing exponentially, just keep adding and adding.
Yeah, Nintendo knows what they're doing with their handhelds.
Yeah.
And the special edition handhelds they keep putting out, like, those are definitely pushing sales.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of clamor and outcry. People want more variety in the colors. So I think if they're more aggressive with those special editions and maybe introduce a couple of new colors, then that'll push hardware sales too.
Yeah, and who knows in a year if they come up with a new re-edition of it or whatever they call it, if there's a new version of it. I don't know what it'd add. But it'd also be interesting if Nintendo announces something compatibility between 3DS and the Wii U. And what would be really cool is if you bought, like, a copy of Smash Brothers, you would get the 3DS version for free or something at a good price. And so they just keep helping each other when someone buys their game or system. So just adding instead of cannibalizing, like, the PS3 and Vita.
Doesn't PlayStation and Vita do the same thing?
Yeah, loosely.
A PlayStation copy, they'll give you one for free.
That's because they're trying to get people to get a Vita because it has no games.
Supposedly that's what it does, but nobody knows because no one's actually bought a Vita to try it.
Exactly.
Well said.
It's untested.
Honestly, yeah, I was working at Best Buy when the Vita was launched. I couldn't give a Vita away after the launch day. Like, launch day, I think I sold like 5. The weeks after, I think I sold like 1 or 2. I couldn't give it away. I'd be like, oh, it's kind of cool. You know, it touched me on the back. It connects to your PS3. People are like, oh, but it's, I can buy an iPad instead.
Yeah.
Like, or 3DS.
They're going to have to go back to the drawing board.
But anyway, so the Nintendo's yearly sales are down 1.9, which is actually on par with the industry in general. So that's not a big surprise. But they did have a net income of 7 billion yen, which is what businesses do. They make money. But the key factor I wanted to point out is the software sales. Wii U has sold 13.42 million units of software. Someone do the math. Divide that by 3.45 million.
I don't have a calculator handy.
We are horrible at math.
It's about 4.
This is about 4. So remember, a lot of people were saying when the Wii launched that there was only barely over a 1 attach rate per game. Mm-hmm. So now there's about 4. Almost every Wii only has about 4 games. There's a few that have like 7 or 8. Like, I think a lot of us may have. So I think that's a good sign because people are actually buying games, and that's where the money is made at, not the consoles themselves, but the games.
I'm hoping that's going to encourage more people to develop for the system because we're all kind of complaining about the lack of the third-party support that we were promised. Right. So hopefully these software numbers will encourage people to give the platform a chance.
And keep in mind with those software attach rates, that is counting Nintendo Land, which ships with the Wii U, as one of the 4.
That's true. Okay, so 3.
So 3.
Well, you know what? Darn it, I had to pay for Nintendo Land. Still fun, though.
Best game for the Wii U?
Yeah. No, it is good. Real quick, going through the numbers, more of the numbers. The Wii somehow sold 460,000 units in the first quarter. I don't know why people are still buying Wiis, to be honest with you. But it's still a little bit shy of 100 million units at 99.84.
It's just in time for when they cross 100 million, it'll be a big announcement at E3.
Yeah, exactly. So probably it could be already over 100 million. They're like, okay, we'll just go with that. No one to know. No one know the why. All right, so moving on to the big news of the week. I don't want to call it big news, but I found it interesting. 2 more Pikmin were showed off for Pikmin 3. They're old Pikmin, but purple and white.
Yeah.
Kevin's played Pikmin before.
I've played him before.
Do you remember I don't know much about the blue and white. Purple and white, sorry. Purple and white Pikmin.
I like the white ones. They were fun. They had like a really cool like their main thing was they could dig up treasures from under the ground, and they were resistant to poison gas events, and if they got eaten, they would kind of like poison whatever ate them. Mm-hmm. So they were really fun to use, and they were a lot quicker. And I guess the purple ones were kind of like the sumo ones. They were way heavier and slower.
Yeah, and they could lift more and more powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did more damage.
They were your attack dogs, because you could just stun somebody with it and just take them out easily. Yeah. But I'm glad they're making a comeback, though, because I enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm. And I had to pull this next piece of news out because it's dear to my heart. Because there's going to be an update for Toki Tori 2 to make the game easier. Because people are lazy. It's also doing a whole bunch of other patches and fixes.
Wait. They're making the patches to make the game easier?
Well, yes. That's I'm kind of over-exaggerating, but there's a few levels that they're adding hints to.
Making it easier.
Because this is coming from... a generation of gamers who are complaining now that games are too easy, and now we want patches to get hints and make it easier. we can't be happy, can we?
And they tweeted today, they're like, isn't it weird that the patch is 66.6 megs big? I've talked to them about it, and they I'm not going to say anything. Moving on to, I think just J-Money posted this, the Wii U versus console games were announced, finally. Hopefully that will come out Friday. I know the patch could come live tonight, who knows, the update. Because there was a Balloon Fighter. A Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong Jr., Excite Bike, Ice Climbers, Kirby's Adventure, and Punch Out, F-Zero, and Super Mario World. Is that list too small for you guys?
Yeah. A little underwhelmed by it, to be honest with you.
Well, I didn't see the Virtual Console launch on the Wii because I didn't get a Wii at launch. But just from my base experience with the launch of this Virtual Console, the list could probably be a little more robust, seeing that I like playing retro games, that a lot of those would probably keep me busy for quite a while. So I don't see why they would need to release more unless there are people looking for other titles. Like I said, I didn't see the other Virtual Console much, so I don't know what came out at launch for the Wii. So.
I think it's just because I was a 3DS ambassador. I had access to a big chunk of those titles already for free. And so I guess I was kind of hoping that there'd be a little more variety than the same, NES titles that I already have access to and have multiple copies of.
That's the same thing I thought. It was we've have all these games somewhere. They've been released.
Mm-hmm.
In some capacity somewhere. And so why not offer something new for the Wii U that wasn't even released on the Wii Virtual Console or the 3DS?
Well, and they hyped the announcement so much. I was expecting something important, but it was felt really flat after it actually hit headlines.
But you know what? I'm gonna do the plug. I applaud them for announcing Earthbound. Virtual console. Finally. Anybody at Nintendo, if you're listening, thank you. We've been asking for that for years. And Starman.net, rock on, guys. Thanks for fighting the fight for us.
I'm sure we can all agree, though, that even though this is a small release list, as long as they keep up with it throughout the years and keep adding more, unlike the Wii, where they kind of just gave up on it eventually. We didn't get anything. I don't remember the last time we got a good Virtual Console game on the Wii.
Yeah, it's a great thing, and I can see myself dumping bucket loads of cash into it. You just gotta give me the games that I want.
Especially if they bring GameCube games and stuff to it, too, because I would really like to see some GameCube games on the Virtual Console.
And I don't know why they don't use a virtual console to hype upcoming games, like when the new Mario comes out, unleash Mario 64, maybe Mario Sunshine for virtual console. Mm-hmm. Get people hyped up for it. You know, to just, you know, if you're feeling Mario, you're going to buy other Mario games.
That is true.
Well, maybe they have GameCube games on the mind, because we are getting the Wind Waker remake. So at least maybe they've got their eyes and their thoughts on GameCube, you know, with this remake. Hopefully we'll see some GameCube love coming back, because I think there were a ton of great games for that system.
Well, it seems like a lot of game companies are doing that now, too. They're coming out with their, like, HD collections and stuff, so it is possible that maybe Nintendo might want to try cashing in on some of those.
The next big bit of news that I'm super excited about, because I'm looking for a DS XL, is a hot pink 3DS XL.
Ooh, baby.
That thing is sexy to the eyes. And I actually may get one. And don't think I'm joking, because Kevin knows I bought a pink, hot pink DSi.
I remember. Back
in the day. Okay, I was a little unsure if you were serious for a moment. I need the picture of Fry from Futurama.
Yeah. If I buy a pink 3DS XL, Fry a Princess Peach sticker to put on.
Nice.
Oh, man.
I remember when I bought that game, I was at the store. Well, when I bought it, I was at the store, and I was like, oh, look at DSi. And he's like, oh, you want the black one? I was like, no, I want the pink one. And he kind of looks at me, really?
Well, you know, red's my favorite color, and pink is technically like a lighter red, so I support you. Pink is okay in my book.
I can't stand looking at that thing. It is way too pink. It hurts my head.
It kind of reminded me of Pepto-Bismol.
All right, now moving on to the big news from last week, which I thought the whole KubaCast was going to be about, was Nintendo Direct from last Wednesday. You guys' first reactions before we dive into it, what did you guys think?
It was awesome.
Well, you already heard me, Earthbound, yay. And New Zelda, yes.
I was surprised by the number of just solid details they gave. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, look at this game. This is what it's going to do. Look at this game. Look at this game. Look at this game. Rather than kind of beating around the bush and like, oh, here's a promo screenshot. They definitely threw down and showed people what they actually want.
And they could quite easily just say, yeah, we have a new Zelda 3DS coming. But like you said, they actually had like video and details about this is how the gameplay is going to be different. And those sorts of things. So they didn't just tease us. They actually gave us something solid to look at.
Yeah, for someone like me who's primarily like a handheld gamer, it was probably the first Nintendo Direct in a while where I was actually like genuinely excited because of those reasons, because they gave us all the solid gameplay footage and it wasn't vague. So I have something to look forward to now.
All right, let's go through all the announcements. And I'm going to take this straight from Jacob's roundup post. If something's wrong, it's his fault.
And we'll let you deliver that message, Chris.
They already, we'll skip over Mario. The other one we'll talk about, Mario Luigi Dream Team, they kind of already talked about it before.
Game looks awesome.
It's coming July 12th. It looks awesome.
Never played one in the series, but I'm kind of looking at that one.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've never definitely played those because they're the funniest Mario games. They're as funny as Paper Mario games.
Nice. It looks like they carried a little bit more of the charm from Mario RPG over to that one than maybe Paper Mario did.
Yeah.
Because Paper Mario kind of went its own little thing, which was cool. So I'm going to have to give that one a shot because it looks like it would be a blast. So shame on me for not playing any of them.
And there's Mario Golf World Tour, which includes international online play, and that's coming sometime this summer. And I enjoy the Mario Sports series. Like, I love Mario Tennis on the 3DS. Like, it's amazing. And Strikers is one of my favorite Wii games. Even though I suck at it.
I tried to play Strikers once with one of my friends, and it was like a massacre. I had no idea what was going on.
I thought it was pretty good with strikers until I played Justin Sharp. Kevin can attest to this. Like, he would actually let us win games.
Oh, wow.
Or go up, and then he'd be like, all right, I'll stop playing, and then we lose by, like, a ton.
I had no idea what was going on, and then they do all their special moves, and I get scared. Like, oh, God, what do I do? How do I block this?
Well, I enjoy playing golf games a lot, but I've never played – I don't know if there have been any other Mario Golf games. I'm assuming there have.
Yes, there
have. Okay. Well, I'm very excited to be able to play Mario Golf, and that it's going to be in 3D too, so that should be pretty cool.
I just hope there's tons of variety. Like, I hope there's a lot of stuff to do, because that's – Mario Golf can get boring, but what's great about the 64 one, there was just so much to it. Characters, courses, you know, objectives.
Well, now they have online play too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's gonna help it, but there's something about like unlockables that keep you playing, you know. Especially if it's like that really really difficult one, and then you can brag. It's like, oh yeah, I got this character. And it's like, what? How'd you do it? What's your strategy?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because you spend like months unlocking this character, and you only play it for like 3 days, and you're like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The next game, which I don't want to talk about because I hate them, is Mario Party Games.
Why do you hate them?
Why you don't like Mario Party?
I just hate Mario Party games. I don't know why.
Anyway,
it's like one of those games you either love it or you hate it.
It's an interesting for the 3DS because I feel like the game is better played with friends in the same room.
Yeah.
For sure.
Like any type of online or local play for it?
They didn't announce anything about online or anything like that.
And I think that would be a deal breaker, even if I liked the series.
So, I'm assuming it's going to be local play because I don't see how you'd ever be able to do it any other way. Because like even online, you'd have to deal with lag and on some of those mini games. Games are like 10 seconds long, so if you have a half a second lag, it's
sure. A lot of games are like time-based, so yeah, if there's a lag, it's...
Well, not only that, it's like, what do you do while the other character is going through his moves or just sitting there? Are you just going to sit there? Are you going to be able to talk? Like, what's great about Mario Party, while someone else is going, you're there cheering, booing, distracting. Mm-hmm. If you're watching someone else play, that's going to get boring because you're only playing a fifth of the time sometimes, you know, or video or mini games, stuff like that. So it's kind of.
Yeah, I could only see it working if they had some sort of voice chat.
And the next. Well, we'll skip Donkey Kong Country 3D, unless you guys have something to say about that.
Real quick, I'm amazed by the quick releases of these 3DS games.
Yeah.
It seems like they're just coming out of nowhere and then boom. Summer announcements.
Donkey Kong, they just announced, and they're like, okay, that's releasing in May.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, say what?
Well, even like Mario and Luigi, what was that announced in February?
July. Mm-hmm. Not the February, yeah, it comes out July 12th.
Yeah, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I think like the industry just kind of changed. Like now summer is another big hit for blockbuster titles to come out, as well as like the holiday season, you know.
That never made sense to me my whole life. Is summer should be the biggest or second biggest release of the year?
Because that's when
going to school,
exactly.
On summer break.
But in the past, you've seen it before, where usually summer would be like the drought of games. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be, you know, the really big titles. So it's funny how the industry has kind of changed that way.
And then the next game is Yoshi's Island 3DS. And Yoshi's kind of quietly making a comeback. This is his second game that's been announced in the last few months. And I was a big Yoshi Island fan, so I'll probably buy this over Mario Party.
That's not saying much.
So you'd rather deal with the crying baby Mario?
I would.
Mario Party.
Yes.
The game looks awesome.
I wouldn't mind playing it. It's been a while since I've jumped into the... I missed the last Yoshi's Island that they did for the DS. So I don't know if that one was any good or not. So I'll have to jump in on this one. Get my platformer fix.
Mm-hmm. And we have Mario Donkey Kong Minis on the move on May 9th. It's an eShop game. Have any of you guys ever played those games?
No.
Yeah.
How many? There's only been. It's been two more.
Yeah, two others, I believe.
Yeah, I played the first one. It's all right.
I've played like the precursor to them, because it seems like they took Donkey Kong for the Game Boy, and then they turned it into Mario versus Donkey Kong, that kind of like puzzle platformer element. But I really like lost interest in it when it started. Where you lost control of like the main characters, and you just had to like make paths for them and stuff like that and guide them. Mostly because that kind of irks me. I like to be in control. So I don't enjoy those types of puzzle scenarios myself. But I don't know. It looks like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, those games are fun. But to me, it gets to a point where it just gets too chaotic and too stressful that like I usually have to stop playing for a few weeks and then start again, because it's just,
exactly,
it's just more infuriates me than anything.
I like being in control.
And quickly, some other announcements. Animal Crossing New Leaf, a 3DS XL version was announced. I think that thing's ugly. I would rather have the hot pink one than that.
Yeah, that one looks like a Pop-Tart to me.
Well, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's the biggest issue with it is that it's white, and it's going to get dirty and ugly with age.
For sure. So, I mean, even the silver 3DS fat grayed out and became very lackluster looking very, very quickly.
Yeah, mine isn't very pretty anymore.
No. It's like the weird yellow plastic where the silver is rubbed off.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. That, like, the sticker on the back of my DS Fat that had like the serial number, like all the ink from that sticker has like mysteriously like vanished, and it's nothing but like a white block of the sticker. The sticker's still fine, but just the numbers and the ink, I don't know how it happened. It's completely faded away.
And Nintendo announced The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons coming to the eShop on May 30th, which is another quick turnaround.
Yes.
I don't think I've played Oracle of Ages. I've played Seasons, actually. I love Seasons. I thought that was really fun.
Man, they're both awesome.
They're difficult games, but
yeah, Seasons.
Such an interesting like world to explore. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just feels really open for a Game Boy title.
So pick those up. Yeah. And the big news is, I don't know what to call it. Zelda 3DS. Possible Link to the Past 2.
Yeah.
Link to the Future, like Jay Money wanted to say.
I liked my name, The Legend of Zelda, The Sacred Scroll. Because he's like a little picture. Like the scroll on the wall.
Nice.
What were you guys' first impressions of it? Because it wasn't very positive for me, because it looked weird.
That's very descriptive.
Well, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. This is exciting, but it just...
You know what?
It looks funny.
Everybody said that about Wind Waker when that was first unveiled, and that was such a great game.
True.
That's true.
So, you know, I think the series really shines when they kind of ignore the fan base about what it should look like, and just kind of let it be playful, fun, and imaginative, you know?
Because Nintendo knows what we want when we don't know it.
Exactly. I mean, they don't have a very difficult formula they need to follow. It's going to be a handheld Zelda game, add in one or two new gameplay mechanisms, yeah, and there you go.
The only thing I worry about if it's too close to A Link to the Past, like, I saw that boss battle people were playing, it just looked like a retread.
I saw that.
It's going to be too similar, and I'm hoping that was just part of the demo or a small part of the game, because I want something completely fresh and new that I want to explore.
That was going to be my next question. Like, would you guys be okay with that? Because I was going to bring up that boss demo, because they're going to have a lot of the same bosses. It very well may be like A Link to the Past too.
I was just going to say, would you be okay with a sequel to A Link to the Past, or would you rather something new?
I love the idea of A Link to the Past sequel, if it's a sequel and not just a retread with slightly tweaked story points or slightly tweaked location and dungeons. I want full-blown, you know, alterations of all kind, new areas, new enemies.
Oh, for sure. Like, if that one boss fight's sort of like a callback, then that's fine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But if it's every boss fight or the dungeons are the same, then it's not even like, I mean, most sequels don't even have repeat bosses.
Yeah.
It's going to be a non-HD remake.
In a 3D view.
Ooh.
That is one aspect that somewhat intrigues me, is how they can build the dungeons up. My computer doing even in 3D graphics. I think that could be an interesting gameplay mechanic where you have to think not just out and about, you have to think up as well.
I think that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is maybe putting some outside of the box thinking puzzles, you know, besides the usual stuff that, you know, I'm used to and can breeze right through.
Well, you don't want... What's great about Nintendo is because they're really good at just like throwing really awkward at you and making it really good.
Mm-hmm. Or you're getting sick of lighting torch and pushing ice block puzzles?
Maybe just a little bit. Just a little
bit. Oh, going back to the same dungeon 8 times?
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit lots of fun.
That was...
fantastic.
Yeah.
Sigh.
Anyway, skipping a little bit of the rest of the 3DS announcements, when we move to the Wii U ones, this wasn't really announced in Nintendo Direct, but it came during a press release afterwards. Pikmin 3, August 4th. Just throwing that out there.
Rock on.
Like you guys' reaction, Super Luigi U is coming out this summer. According to Jacob's notes. And I like to add, wasn't there like a 90 second or 2 minute limit?
100 seconds.
100 yeah, seconds. 100 seconds. Limit.
And that's pretty quick.
Yeah, so what do you guys think of that? It's kind of like, hey, here's these new lands. Oh, you guys get to them pretty quick.
I'm kind of excited for that because I like to see how fast I can go through like a Mario level. So that should be a lot of fun for me.
But every level?
Every level, man. You don't hold back in Mario.
What would be cool, though, is once you beat it or you unlock certain, you would unlock the option to have longer time. And I do like the idea of having to beat the level in a certain time the first time. Because it's just like those New Super Mario Brothers for the 3DS, those like ultra hard levels where you're basically just jumping on enemies through the whole level.
Mm-hmm.
Those are stupid. Mm-hmm. Hard, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem I see myself running into is I'm playing New Super Mario Bros. U recently, and I find myself quite often running out of time just because I'm exploring a level, and I'll do that like 3 or 4 times, and I kind of get frustrated after a while. So it'll be interesting to see if the 100-second level time limit or time limit for each level will affect my enjoyment of the game at all.
Do you have like an option in the game? Because I don't think I've ever like toyed with it. Like for say, if you beat a level really quickly, can you like post like a ghost of your run to Jimmyverse? Because I know you can have like the messages, but wouldn't it be kind of cool if they had that option? So yeah, okay, I did this really fast. Can you beat this time? That you know pops up in the level before you jump into it.
That would be interesting, but I don't think they have done anything like that.
Well, they should.
Absolutely. That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What would be even cooler is, like, you could double up your ghosts, so you could have, like, 10 of your own ghosts running in your own level, and so you're racing yourself.
That would be fantastic. Awesome.
That would be freaky.
Knowing Nintendo, that'd be an entirely new game release, but...
Well, for some reason, I just had like a flashback to Ocarina of Time, the Dark Link fight. And just conquer yourself. Navi, that was the worst advice ever.
But that's all you've got.
Yeah, that's all I got. Conquer yourself. You figure it out. You got it.
And the next announcement, which we've already briefly talked about, is Earthbound finally coming to something. To virtual, for the virtual console this year.
We've been asking for that for a long, long time.
I never played an Earthbound game. I just know about the ending. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Buy it. Play it. Support it. It's one of those games that it's worth everyone playing at least once.
Even the ending?
Even the ending.
And even the ending.
It's a solid game all the way through. And just the humor is like hilarious. The characters you get really attached to. And there's something about it. There's like a charm you can't really replicate. You gotta play it. Then you'll know what I mean.
Oh, for sure. And the ending makes a lot more sense if you kind of read about it afterwards and read some of the analysis, because then it makes a lot more sense.
Now, would you guys be interested in seeing the sequel Mother 3 come to Virtual Console as well?
I don't see why not. I don't see why they shouldn't just produce as many games for the Virtual Console as they can, because that's basically free money.
Right.
I really think Nintendo needs to have a team that's dedicated to virtual console releases and remakes if they're going to do that. Like, that is all they do. They just put those out as often as they can. And that is their main goal.
So they make a ton of money off of that, like Chris was saying. It could possibly be a cash cow for them. And they could make up for something else being weak, like certain game sales or the Wii U, whatever, with a lot of money in virtual console.
Well, how cool would it be if, like, you bought the new Mario or pre-ordered the new Mario, you got $3 off, you know, towards Mario and virtual console?
That would be really
incentives to keep doing that.
That would be awesome.
And especially since, like, right now, if you want to play, let's say, Super Mario World, if it's not on the virtual console, people are finding Super Nintendos from flea markets, buying used copies of the cart, which is like $15-$20. Yeah. Like, people are already spending this money, but it's going to third parties. Mm. So they're basically forcing other people to take the money.
Yeah. And if they could get enough of these, if they have these game lulls like right now, they could be pumping out some pretty big virtual console games just to keep gamers interested. You know, and keep getting good press instead of this lack of games, lack of things to play.
That's a good point, because I can see I turn to eShop games a lot recently. I have a ton of eShop games. And if they had a lot of, for the Wii U, is that clear? And so they had virtual console games like Mario Bros. 3, even though I own it on the Wii, it would have been awesome to have Mario Bros. 3 planted on my game, on the gamepad. I would have been playing the mess out of that around the sun.
Well, and I think that's one thing that's kind of not saved, but kind of made up for some of the missing retail releases, is that their eShop has been fairly strong.
Two more pieces of news. Game in Wario is coming out June 23rd, around my birthday, just to let you guys know.
Well,
I don't want that game. And then Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate update coming. Around off TV play. Fast the load time.
That'll be good. The load times are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was talked about, which should happen tonight or tomorrow, is the Wii U system update finally. And I'm actually super excited and impressed with the Wii system update. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but there seems to be, they pulled a lot from the PlayStation 4 in the sense that now things, which it should have been in the first place, things can download in the background. Things are downloading while the Wii U is asleep or whatever, like the Wii was. Like, the Wii was always awake or alive. It was always communicating. So now the Wii U can do that. So now there's none of this waiting updates, or it's all can happen in the background. You can download. That's all off my train of thought. It is pretty awesome.
No, I agree. It's a shame they announced that after the PS PS4 announcement, because everyone will think it's because of the PS4 announcement they're doing all that.
Right.
Yeah. But honestly, it should have been like that in the beginning.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
for sure.
Well, that's about all I have, I think. Wait, no, there was one more question I wanted to end on. Nintendo's been focusing a lot on the 3DS recently. Do you think the Wii U is being left out? Or do you think they should be focusing on the Wii U and just let the 3DS float right now? Or 50-50, 60-40?
No, I think the 3DS, they need to keep the momentum up. But what I think they're doing is they're just holding all their guns, everything for Wii U for E3. I think that's when they're going to unleash what they have and to combat any announcements by Microsoft and Sony.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's what's going to happen.
Now, I find it interesting that Microsoft is also announcing their next hardware on May 21st. So close to E3, like that is like right before E3 hits. Do you think they have Sony and Microsoft might have more up their sleeves than what they lead on and during their, reveals?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but I wonder, like Sony, I never understand because they announced like God of War. They announced that like 3 weeks before E3 one year. And it's like, why not just save that for a few more weeks? Like, I don't understand why they don't wait a couple weeks or a month for those things. But I know it's strategic. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's just sort of the technology market today. I mean, even with cell phone companies and stuff, everyone's hosting their own events now where 10 years ago, no one would have done that. Mm-hmm. I mean, people like the PS4, the PS4 and the Xbox 720 release. If those, you know, last generation, those were basically all E3 announcements. Mm-hmm. And now that everyone needs to host their own events. And I mean, even like the Galaxy S3 and S4, you know, those should have been, you know, could have been announced at any other cell phone or technology convention. Mm-hmm. But now everyone, it's just the market's shifted where everyone wants their own proprietary, everyone look at just me. Yeah. Announcements.
Yeah, and I was thinking that's perfect for Microsoft because there is always this lull right before E3 of, you know, there's some leaked stuff but not very big. And Microsoft comes out and dominates, you know, the press for the next few weeks before E3. I mean,
that's somewhat what Nintendo did for the 3DS. They, about a month and a half or so, too, they were like, there's a new handheld coming out. It's going to have 3D screen. See you at E3. We're all...
Do you remember why that happened?
Like, holy crap, what is this? No glasses. Huh?
But do you remember why that happened, right?
Because it was leaked.
Yeah.
And see, but, like, I thought it ended up being brilliant because we're all like, holy crap, we got to see this glassesless screen.
That's good. It builds up hype.
Yeah. Or like when Nintendo announced the Motion Plus, it was like an hour before Sony's conference or the Microsoft conference, and they sent out this like email or tweet to everyone, and it's like, hey, we're announcing a new Motion Plus that's greater sensitivity for the Wiimote.
Good time. It's hard to doing what we do to stay away from all those leaks, because we've always talked about we don't want to hear anything, we don't want to ruin the press conference, because leaks do happen. Mm-hmm. But doing what we do, it's hard to stay away from the during E3. Because we, like Kevin and I, have had this conversation at E3. Like, we don't want to know anything. Like, any screenshots that someone's got or inside info someone's got, we don't want to know it. Because we don't want to take it out from the press conference. But it happens. And it's still exciting. Then you get that fake stuff like Majora's Mask for the EU last year. The HD Majora's Mask.
That made me sad.
That was so upsetting.
That rumor happened like an hour before the press conference started.
And have you guys noticed, about 3 years ago, it was leaked. It was either a Mario game or something was leaked 2 days before because there were big posters and stuff of it.
It was Nintendo, Mario Land. The Wii Mario Brothers.
Yeah, maybe. Wii. But now Nintendo is solely doing all their logos on lights, if you noticed. Mm-hmm. Like any posters, it's all lights on the walls. And so it's a good way to secrecy.
Oh, okay.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Well, I guess that's it for this week's podcast. We'll be moving back to the 8 o'clock time 2 weeks from now. I'll be free. I don't have dog training anymore. So, huzzah. And that, about that time, we'll be diving more into E3. Maybe there's Nintendo Direct by then? I don't know. Probably not. But anyway, we'll see you guys on May 8th.